Thank you very much, Pat, for inviting me here today to talk about the Department of Defense Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy Research Program. It is a great honor for me to be given the chance to speak to all the family, friends, and individuals who are here today that deal with DMD on a daily basis. Now, I'm sure there are plenty of you out there that have been scratching your head and asking the question, the DOD actually does research or funds research in muscular dystrophies? We do, and in fact, we've been supporting research in muscular dystrophies since 2003. So as Pat mentioned, I work for the Congressionally Directed Medical Research Programs Office, and you want to know, well, who is and what is CDMRP? Well, CDMRP is actually an office under the U.S. Army's Medical Research Materiel Command, otherwise known as MRMC. And MRMC is in charge of the medical research for materiel development. And that has responsibility for all the medical research, development, and acquisition and logistics management for the Army. So CDMRP came into being or started back in the early 1990s based on a grassroots advocacy movement that was trying to increase funding for breast cancer research. Congress responded to this advocacy work by appropriating over $200 million to the DOD for extramural peer-reviewed breast cancer research. And from this was the start of the CDMRP. Over the years since 1992, when the breast cancer research program was started, CDMRP has grown to become an actual global funding biomedical research office where we fund diverse area of diseases to include cancer, neurological conditions, as well as orthopedic conditions. The CDMRP is a major funder in many areas. It is actually the leading U.S. funder for neurofibromatosis. As well, CDMRP is the second leading U.S. funder for research in a number of cancers, as well as Gulf War illness and tuberous sclerosis. So this graph here is just kind of showing you the funding that CDMRP has managed over the years. CDMRP, in about the 20 years or so of its existence, has managed over $7 billion in research funds. And this graph, you can see, since our start back in 1992, the number of programs and diversity of programs that we have been supporting has grown significantly. And though, unfortunately, starting in about 2010 or FY 2010, we have seen a slow decrease in the total appropriations that we receive. But the number of our programs have stayed up near 17 programs at this point, and we've been lucky enough to continually get that funding each year. So let me tell you about some of the hallmarks or what CDMRP is most well known for. First of all is, where do the monies come from? The research funds are added to the DOD budget by Congress. This means that these research funds, they are not a part of the requested DOD budget that's sent forward by the president. These funds are added based on advocates campaigning Congress for these monies. Next, the vision for each program is adapted yearly along with the mechanisms or funding opportunities that each of these programs offer. This allows each research program the flexibility to adjust and address the current needs of the particular field, particularly what is needed by the researchers, by our clinicians, as well as the advocates. One of the biggest hallmarks to CDMRP is the involvement of consumer advocates throughout our entire process, every step of the way. And I'll explain a little bit more about that in our next slide. CDMRP is also known for funding highly innovative as well as high-impact research. We use a two-tier review process for our application that was recommended by the Institute of Medicine, and I'll explain how that actually works in a couple of slides. Now, of course, we're always working to avoid duplicating our work that is already being funded by other agencies, and we do that by filling and looking to fund areas where, or gaps, where we're either not funding it, it's underfunded, or it's just not even, it's just an unmet need. And we do this by continually trying to use collaboration throughout all of our processes, as well as trying to foster collaboration with the researchers themselves so that they can synergize their efforts and try and tackle some of the very difficult research projects that are out there. So, as I said, consumer advocates are the biggest hallmark to CDMRP. CDMRP defines consumers as individuals who are survivors, patients, family members, or persons that have or are at risk for various diseases, conditions, or injuries. And over the many years that CDMRP has been funding research, there have been almost 2,000 consumers representing over 900 different organizations that have served on the various review panels that are used at CDMRP. Our consumer panel members contribute their own unique personal and community experiences to these processes. We feel it's critical that the perspective that a consumer, their passion and their sense of urgency for what needs to be done should be there at the table when applications are being reviewed. There's no one who can bring no better voice to this to what is needed than having someone who is either a survivor or a family member working with or suffering from that disease. Consumers, of course, are going to help ensure that what we call is the human dimension of the disease is represented, not only at the peer review or the scientific considerations that are involved, but also in the development of each program's policy, what the investment strategy is for that program, as well as what research the program is going to be focusing on. And finally, by having consumers involved in all aspects of our program processes, the consumers can then, you can take the information and your understanding of the scientific process back to your communities and share this with everyone else out there. So I won't spend a lot of time on this slide, but I just wanted to give you a picture sort of the overall process that's used by the CDMRP in managing its research programs. You can see there's sort of two cycles. There's one here, which is our program management cycle, where we solicit, review, and then finally select for funding the grant proposals. The second phase here is the award administration or award management. CDMRP manages all the awards that it has selected for funding. So we have science officers that really deal with the award, as we like to say, from cradle to grave, from negotiation of the award all the way to when that award closes, the outcomes of the research, and the products that come out of it. Okay, so what is this two-tier review process that the CDMRP uses? Well, the goal of this process is to find the scientifically meritorious proposals, and then to fund those that best fulfill each program's specific goals. And so we do this by using two different types of review panels, and the success of this two-tier review really is dependent on the partnership that exists between these two types of panels. The first tier of review is using these peer review panels. This is where we conduct the scientific peer review or evaluation of the proposals that we receive. This review is conducted using criterion-based evaluation of the proposal, and the reviewers will score these proposals based on the proposal's absolute scientific merit. And what this means is the reviewers are not comparing each of the proposals that they have been assigned to review to one another. They're just evaluating each proposal against what we like to call a gold standard. How good is this one proposal? Don't compare it to anything else. Just how good is this particular project? Has it addressed all the concerns and issues in order to have the project be successful? After this scientific peer review, we then move to our second level of review, which is the program, what we call programmatic review, and this is conducted by what we call an integration panel. The integration panel is composed of scientists, clinicians, and consumer advocates that are considered to be, some of the leading thought makers in their fields. The integration panel is the stage, or sort of at this step, where the proposals are actually compared to one another. So the integration panel members will look at each proposal that they have, will evaluate how well these projects actually have adhered to the intent of the particular funding mechanisms, and as well as its programmatic relevance. What is the focus of the program? How well does this particular project meet those needs? And ultimately, the integration panel will come up with a recommended for funding list. I realize I forgot to mention here, at our peer review panels, these panels are composed of also scientists, clinicians, and consumers. So consumers are involved in both steps, both tiers of the review. So now that I've given you a sort of a basic understanding of how our research programs work, let me tell you a little bit about the Duchenne Muscular Dystrophy Research Program, or DMDRP. We are the Army. We do love our acronyms. So the DMDRP was started in 2011 with an initial appropriation of $4 million. Since then, this program has received a total of $10.4 million with an appropriation for FY13, which is right now, of $3.2 million. So during the first 2 years of the program, we've been able to fund 8 awards. And the vision for this program, as you see here, which was developed by the integration panel for the DRDP, and just to let you know, Pat is one of our 8 members of the integration panel. The vision of this program is to extend and improve the function, quality of life, and lifespan for all individuals diagnosed with DMD. And we hope to achieve this by better informing the development of drugs, devices, and other interventions, as well as promoting their effective clinical testing. So each program, I shouldn't say each program, many of the programs will develop focus areas to let the field know this is the type of research this program is most interested in funding. So DMD has several focus areas that are listed here on the slide, and any application that is submitted must address at least one of these focus areas. Now, for all the scientists that are out there today, or even if you're not a scientist but you know someone back from where you come from who does do research, we do currently have an open funding opportunity for FY13, so I'm making that plug. Please apply. We have a cutoff at the end of July, July 31st. The mechanism that we are offering right now is called an investigator-initiated research award, And this mechanism is looking to fund or support mid to later stage translational research projects, as well as sort of early pilot proof of principle type clinical trials. All right, so in the next two slides, I would like to show you some of the eight research projects that we are currently funding. From the first year of the program, these are the four projects and investigators that were recommended for funding. We have two projects in the area of therapeutic development. One is with Dr. Gail Thomas, who is at Cedars-Sinai, and her group is conducting some preclinical studies looking at a nitric oxide donating compound or drug called naproxenone, I think that's how you pronounce it, and they're evaluating this drug as a method to improve muscle blood flow as well as improving cardiac function, with the goal that this will can then lead to a slowing of the disease progression as well as improving the quality of life for patients. Our second project is with Dr. Paul Martin at Nationwide Children's Hospital, and you'll be hearing a lot more about his work actually a little later this afternoon. This project is more of a gene therapy type of project, and Dr. Martin is sort of evaluating a couple of different gene therapy vectors for delivery of this GALGT2 gene that has shown some promise in preventing cardiomyopathy in a number of mouse models of muscular dystrophies. A third project is in the area of sort of biomarkers research, and this is being done by Dr. Glenn Walter down at University of Florida. His group is studying a novel imaging technique called near-infrared imaging, and is looking to use this as a tool to monitor muscle cell response, therapeutic agent delivery, as well as hopefully providing some clinically useful information for diagnosis and prognosis in individuals suffering from neuromuscular diseases. The fourth project is in the area of assessment of clinical trial outcomes, which is an area that needs, definitely a lot of work. The project is, the head of this project is Dr. Avital Kanan down at Children's National Medical Center, and her collaborator is Dr. Craig McDonald, and this work is actually an extension of the natural history study that Dr. McDonald is the head of, and you will be hearing, I see, an update on all the work that's going on with this natural history study. And the goal of this particular project is actually to try and develop practical and easily to administer outcome measures that are sensitive and responsive to changes that occur with therapeutic treatments in patients with muscular dystrophies. For FY12, we have four other awardees, and all of this work is focused on therapeutic development. We are supporting a project by Dr. Elizabeth McNally that is looking at a method to block TGF-beta proteins that are involved in the muscle fibrosis that we see in DMD. There is another gene therapy project being conducted by Dr. Barry Byrne that is using a delivery of a mini dystrophin gene to treat and prevent cardiomyopathy as well as the respiratory challenges we have in DMD. There is a third project by Jill Raphael Fortney, where her group is evaluating treatments using combinations of renin-angiotensin-aldosterone inhibitors as a method to improve skeletal, diaphragm, and cardiac muscle function. And finally, we have a fourth project with Dr. Carmen Bertoni, and this project is evaluating a couple of lead candidates for read-through drugs that are being used to prevent the termination, the stopping of protein synthesis that we see in a number of DMD causing gene mutations. So hopefully you remember that I said that DOD has actually been funding research in muscular dystrophy since 2003. And this list here is just sort of a representative list of the research projects that the DOD has supported in the years prior to the establishment of the DMD RDP. We actually have funded the trial, the coenzyme Q10 lisinopril trial that's a multi-site clinical trial that's being headed up by Dr. Paula Clemens at the University of Pittsburgh. We've supported the development of a number of resources that are needed to actually conduct research in muscular dystrophies, a mouse drug screening core down at Children's National Medical Center. Jackson Laboratory is developing a repository of a number of different mouse models for muscular dystrophies, as well as supporting the Synergy Coordinating Center down at Children's National Medical Center. And then finally, you can see there's this list of a number of therapeutics that we have supported some of the early preclinical work in these areas, including exon skipping, some gene therapy, and probably some of the newer work in using non-hormonal steroid ligands as a potential substitute for the glucocorticoids and treatment. Okay, so in closing, I'd like to thank everyone for your attention. And I wanted to leave you with this final slide that shows the faces of the many consumers that have participated in our various research programs in the years at CDMRP. These are the faces of the individuals who have been involved at peer review, at the integration panel where we've selected what's going to be funded, as well as the steps of deciding what's our investment strategy for the next year. Without you, without these consumers, CDMRP would not exist. So thank you very much for your time. And if you have any questions, I will be here for the rest of the afternoon. Thank you.